Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
We certainly do. Sometimes we talk about two of them at the same time. I am your co-host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am here, as always, with the sweetest 16 I know, Mark Blankenship. Hello, Mark.
Oh, hi. Sure. I'm 16. Let's say that.
You were only 16, only 16, when this season began. And this season, in case you have just arrived, is our Record of the Year Showdown season. This is, in fact, the Sweet 16 episode. A couple of things have changed in between this round and the previous one. Mark, could you please bring listeners up to date?
Yes. So this time, and in all episodes going forward, we are going to be ranking our songs in the traditional Mastis way, which means I will give each song 1 to 16 points. My song that is number 1 for me this week will get 16 points. My number 2 song will get 15 points, all the way down to my 16th place song getting 1 point. Sarah will do the same. And using the patrons' votes on Patreon, I will also be assigning points to the songs based on how the patrons felt about them. We will then tally up all the points, and the 8 top point getters will be our elite 8 in next week's round. So basically what we've done is just given more weight to our individualized feelings about each one of these songs, because at this point it felt like the right thing to do. There we are.
Yeah, there we are. So let's get into it, shall we? What is the first contender today?
Well, coming at you first in our Sweet 16 to determine the all-time greatest Grammy winner for Record of the Year is Beat It by Michael Jackson. And Sarah, I did pull a clip, but I only pulled a clip of Eddie Van Halen's guitar solo because I just feel like we should listen to it.
I concur. May he rest. And let's all rock out. Man, every time we hear a clip of that song, I think about how smart the build of it is and what an amazing amalgam of different kinds of awesome it is. Like, the vocal is great, the bridge is great, the contrast of that bridge that we just heard to the rest of the, like, slightly more synthy and processed sound of the verses and chorus. Like, it's just a brilliant song. It's a brilliant song. I never get sick of it.
Well, where did you end up putting it in your ranking for this week?
I did not expect it to continue at this level, but it is my number two song with 15 points.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Well, yep. The patrons feel also quite strongly about it. They've put it in sixth place overall, which gives it 11 points.
Okay.
And this is a good time to say, if you want to add your voice to these rankings, then you can join us at patreon.com/mastis. And if you become a patron at the Madonna level or higher, you too can vote. And perhaps you will be thinking you should have voted when you find out that I put this song in 13th.
Huh. Well, I think we are probably at the point where, like, there's maybe one or two songs that we don't like. And everything else is good, but they got to go somewhere. So, yeah.
Well, this is... I actually really like all of the songs this week. But I really wrestled with this because at one point, Beat It was as high as 7th on my rankings. But then I thought, for me, which of these songs bring me joy in conjunction with respect? And for me, Beat It is a song I respect, but that I do not enjoy as much as some of the others. I thought about the fact that I've never once decided to listen to Beat It for fun. I hear it all the time because I live in the world, but I've never thought, you know what, today is a Beat It day. And I have thought that about many, many other songs on this countdown. So I just decided 13th place it is.
I think that's fair, and I think that's a perfectly good metric, honestly.
I mean, listen, I had some long, dark nights of the soul where I was like pacing around muttering to myself like Miss Havisham about I believe.
Me too. Me too.
What
Mrs.
do I believe?
Rochester and the attic over here. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Bad.
Exactly. Who are you? What do you want to put in the world? Et cetera, et cetera. But of course, we'll be getting to more of that all too soon. Now, next, I will say, is Bette Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes, another song that I really like. But on my joy metric, I was like, you know, I've never really actively sought this one out either. So with all due respect and much love to the raspy-voiced Kim Carnes, I put this in 14th place and gave it only 3 points.
Huh. Yeah, this is one that I was like, I sort of respond to it in a way that's, I mean, visceral seems like too heavy a word for how I feel about this song. But what I'm basically trying to say is that it floated around a lot, but then whenever I would sort of put it in a head-to-head matchup against another song that was coming onto my list, it, like, I couldn't necessarily say about a lot of these songs, like, do I like that better? Would I turn that up in the car? Would I listen to it again? And, you know, you got to have a roller skating song in here, people. I don't make the rules, but I am prepared to enforce them. With that said, it was kind of right in the middle, still in my top half, but I put it in number 8, and that gives it 9 points.
I mean, you're right that New York Mayor Eric Adams did recently say that all ranked lists of songs must include at least one roller skating anthem. So thank you for acknowledging that.
And if we're going to listen to anyone's wise counsel, it's that guy who's like sleeping in his desk like George Costanza. Oh, Eric, why are you like this?
So the patrons were almost exactly aligned with you. They put it in 9th place and gave it 8 points.
Okay.
Now, where did you land with Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
Well, you know, the top half in terms of like ranking them is, you know, once again, in any group of 16, you've got like everyone between 9 and 13 is like, this kind of could go anywhere.
Yes.
But when we're actually doing the rankings and not just an up-down vote, you have to be a little more small C Catholic about it, I guess.
Yeah.
But this one was really like, I couldn't believe it was only 4th, kind of. But there's a lot of all-timers on this list. So that's where I put it, was 4th with 13 points. And I'm comfortable with that this time, but depending on what happens with this song, the shit's about to get complex. What did you do?
Okay, so the patrons put it in 11th place, which gives it 6 points. And
Patrons.
But I shocked myself by agreeing with them.
Wow.
Yes. Here's the thing. I love this song. I have spoken at length on this season about my enthusiasm for Green Day as a band. It is such a good song. But I was like, okay, some of the songs that I've ranked higher, I thought I'm ranking these higher because I want to acknowledge how like unusual they are. Songs, like you said, songs 8 to 13 are basically all roughly within a hair's breadth of each other.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I was like, am I going to feel like fist pumping Emilio Estevez breaking the glass in that montage in Breakfast Club level excitement about this song going through or about some other songs going through? And this song did not get my Emilio Estevez fist pump. But now it's what's so fucking crazy about this prison into which we've willfully locked ourselves, Sarah.
And then eaten the key and washed it down with bourbon like a couple of real assholes. But
like
yes.
The worst sequel to the Saw movies that you've ever seen. The audience sawed off its own ears so that they wouldn't have to listen to that shit anymore, is what the critics said.
Oh, God. Escape from Boo Boo Traz. I don't even know what's happening. Anyway, please complete your thought.
My point being, it now makes it seem like I'm hating on Green Day because I did this, but I don't. But these are the laws by which we've chosen to live. I really love this song and only put it in 11th place.
I mean, I'm like teasing the patrons because when they find out where I put a certain flowing body of water,
gonna
have to change my name and go into hiding.
Okay, so that brings us to bridge over the aforementioned troubled water. Sarah, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Oh, that wasn't the flowing water to which I was referring.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, bridge over troubled water might be like if we were picking this and the basis was like, you have to listen to what you've ranked number one and only that song forever.
Yep.
I would be okay with it. I put Bridge Over Troubled Water at number one.
So, I mean,
16 points.
I cannot argue with that. And it's only for some reasons that I will discuss later that I didn't put it at number one, but it is at number two for me. Bridge Over Troubled Water is one of the greatest songs of all time. And that's that on that.
What did the listeners do?
Well, they agreed with you yet again, and they also it in first place. So I would say that Bridge Over Troubled Water is fairly certain to make it on to next week.
I think so. Out of a perfect score.
Yeah, exactly. So out of a possible 48 points, it got 47.
Uh-huh. That's probably good enough.
I'm going to guess that that's going to be fine. Now, is it too late for Carole King to move forward with It's Too Late? Well, before we answer that question, let's hear a clip from Ms. Carole King.
There'll be good times again for me and you, but we just can't stay together, don't you feel it too? Still, I'm glad for what we had and how I once loved you. But it's too late, baby, now it's too late, though we really did try.
Man, that really brings me back to the 70s, and, you know, shouts to people who have their pets in the album art. I think I did not realize that her cat played such a big role in that production design. I can come up with a bunch of sort of justifications for ranking this where I did, which was at number 7 with 10 points. They wouldn't necessarily be based on the song, but I just have a very strong relationship with this song nostalgically and sort of retroactively. There's that industry respect for Carole King. There's the fact that she's, I mean, I always say about European procedural television that it's like, oh, they actually have detectives who are over the age of 28 and have visible pores like you would in life. And it's not like American ones where everybody looks like they were extruded on an assembly line. Like, they're very beautiful, but it's not relatable. Carole King is that of, like, sort of the mid-70s singer-songwriter thing for me, that it's like, oh, this is a, you know, this is a real person and not this, plot device created in created in Topanga Canyon. Like, I don't know if that's making any sense. It probably isn't. Long story, very short, number 7. But I have a feeling my cheese is standing alone.
Well, I want to say that you're right, that Carole King, one of the things that makes her so appealing as an artist is she does seem like a person that you could have known at school. She doesn't seem like
somebody
someone
that you used to know, but in a good way.
Exactly. She really does seem like someone who just was living a normal life and then stumbled into being a genius, which is very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, I also, in listening to this song again for this episode, was struck by the jazziness of it, which somehow I've never really consciously thought about before. This is basically light jazz, this song.
Yeah, kind of.
And there's more instrumental breaks in this song than I remembered, actually. Again, because I typically only listen to words, and I really sat with the fact that there's a lot of instrumentals in this song, and I thought that's actually pretty structurally cool for a number one hit. I still only put it in 15th, but it's still, like, again, I still really like it. It just, again, it just doesn't get my Emilio Estevez fist pumping. And the patrons were between us. They put it in 12th place with 5 points.
All right. That's about where I thought it would be averaged out.
So that brings us to I Will Always Love You. Now, we've already heard a taste of this song, but since it has become our, I guess, North Star, should we listen to the clip again?
Yes. What this is making me think of now, our, like, thing with this song, is how on Again With This, when we were still in the Beverly Hills 90210 years, that they were getting increasingly inappropriate with, like, the last line of the last line before the smash to the credits.
Right.
So whenever there was, like, a really dark or sad or, like, a huge revelation about how someone, you know, has finally recalled the details of their assault, and then we'd be like, this is starting to feel like that. Or like the CSI Miami cold open where he's like, looks like these hearts of palm are broken. Who rock scream. With all of that said, I did not rank this that high, but I didn't rank it that low either. It's number 10, 7 points.
Well, for the very first time in this episode, we agree, because that's also where I put this song, 10th place with 7 points. And in case you're a numerologist, the patrons put it in 7th place with 10 points. So you tell me what it means.
Huh.
But
I don't know what it means.
I obviously think this song is good, even after having heard it a gajillion times and also listening to this clip so many times in the last few weeks. I can still appreciate that it's great, but there's just, again, there's just something about it. I have to say, I think I just have heard it too many times to want it to be representative of the entire project. It just sort of transcends being a Grammy winner into being something else. And I just didn't feel ultimately that the ultimate Grammy winner for Record of the Year is a song that feels bigger than the award. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like we were saying, I think, in the round of 64 about this, like, there should be just a special category where the belters go.
Yeah.
Like, fundraisers, and then Whitney, Mariah, Adele, Ms. Franklin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, speaking of cheese standing alone, Sarah, I really like Kiss from a Rose. I think that it's so exciting. I'm going to just say it again. Like, it is such a structurally interesting song. It's such a sonically interesting song. There just aren't other songs that sound like Kiss from a Rose. It is a one-of-one experience for me. There's a touch of Enya in it, in the way that he tracks his own vocals in the bridge. There's this sort of mysticism about it, but it's also a power ballad, and the lyrics do and don't make sense. And yesterday, your friend and mine, John Ramos, texted to say that if he finds out that somebody that I used to know wins it all in this season, he could eventually die happy. And I said, well, if it does, think of my love for that song as the single rose I'm tossing on your future grave. And then he said, then he quoted Kiss from a Rose in some way. And I was like, well done, sir. Mm-hmm. So point being, it's the song that brings friends together, and it's the song that does and doesn't make sense. I put it in eighth place. And I thought of eighth as an important number in this. Eight is important in this round, because top eight is still moving on. So
yep.
I love this song, but I also understand that the other songs that I've ranked above it are like all time. There are songs that are like that I like. It's a calculus at this point. It's not just do I like it. I mean, I was incorporating some of my personal tastes to make these decisions, but there are other factors at play too. And Kiss from a Rose, I love, but it's not iconic in the way that some of the others are. Therefore, eighth place.
I love that you gave this speech that was basically like you wrote your own wedding vows to the song. and then it's eighth.
Yeah. I've never been more changed by a work of art. Eighth place.
It's fine. I didn't actually rank it that much lower than you did. This was a strange one where it was like, I just assumed that this was going to be like an easy one to contend with. But here's the thing, like a lot of these are pleasing in such unique, sui generis ways that sometimes to compare them, like it really is apples and cheeses standing alone. So I really struggled with where to put this because it was like, you know, do I like it more? Is it better? Is it more representative? Like those are all very different axes. And for this particular song, I was sort of getting a different ranking based on like for each axis. Finally, I just averaged everything together because I had to, you know, live my life. So it is at number 11 for me with 6 points. But again, there's one song on here that I kind of can't with anymore, and then the rest of them are all great. So I don't, again, nobody's taste is being insulted here. These were winners for a reason.
Yep.
Unlike some of the ones we talked about in earlier rounds. So yeah.
Yeah. And once you make it to the Sweet 16, you've proven your point.
I think so.
You're not a fucking pink apple blossom white. That wasn't even one of them. You're not like, anyway, you're not some sad ass instrumental from great grandma's attic that has the stench of mothballs on it as you try to convince me that it's something I can dance to with my lady friend from the girl school down the way.
Oh God. Well, look, I feel like Volare still actually should be here because that motherfucker is still stuck in my head, but that's what we're talking about.
That was not directed at your friend and mine, Volare. Oh.
Whoa.
That was more directed at A Taste of Honey, if you'd like to know.
I forgot the existence of that and assumed that you were busting on Days of Wine and Roses, which you probably also forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
This season really goes a lot of strange places, and we've forgotten a bunch of them that were in the 60s.
Yes, we have. Because, once again, the Grammys got it so wrong in the 60s.
Just like wall to wall,
just wrong in a way. Well, just go back to that episode if you've already forgotten our rage that we expressed. So next up, I pulled a clip of Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille, because I'm guessing this is our fond farewell to this particular song. We'll see, of course, but perhaps for the very last time, here's a little taste of Love Will Keep Us Together.
So be gone when the others turn you off. Who
And I picked that particular clip because I just think that bridge is so savage. Like, you will be an really ugly old shitbag someday, but at least you got me. Could you act like you appreciate it? Anyway, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, and look, Tony Tennille has been pretty tireless in testifying to how being captained by Daryl Dragon was a mixed blessing at best at times. I think I clipped almost that same sequence when we first heard this song, like in the round of 64. And I think that's the clip because it's the best part of her vocal.
Yeah.
You do get a sense of how there's like kind of a lot of like garbage percussion happening in the background because, you know, Mr. Dragon was struggling with some things. And but it works. Like the sum of the parts is like it's a lot of parts, but for some reason the whole is greater. It really does go. But I just I'm more impressed by this song now than I was before we began this process. But this is a tough fucking group, so it only reached number 13 for me with 4 points. I'm so sorry, Ms. Tennille.
I'm going to echo that because I agree with you. Even hearing the I will, like that's good. She sounds good. The rhythmic stuff that's happening there is interesting. Much love for this song, but not enough for me to take it out of 12th place with 5 points. And the patrons put it in 15th place with 2 points. Oh, did I mention that the patrons put Kiss from a Rose in 14th place, by the way?
Wow, no, you didn't. And that's... Okay.
So it's eighth. So
that's Kiss informational.
Yes. So to go back, that's Kiss from a Rose is an eighth for me.
How 14th. Dare you talk about Mark's song husband like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Eighth from me, 14th from the patrons, 11th from you. Love Will Keep Us Together, 12th from me, 15th from the patrons, 13th from you. I don't think that we will be seeing Captain and Tennille next time, but we love them all the same. Now, you alluded to a body of water, and therefore I assume that it must be Moon River, Sarah. Do tell.
It is. I hadn't listened to this one in a while because it just kept sort of like not being that necessary to re-listen to it. But I listened to the version that I have, which actually doesn't have a vocal. And then I realized that for some reason in my iTunes library, there's like 5 different versions of it by various, like musicians love to try to like do this one over. It's very, very magnetic as a cover. But the song always, like you click on it and it's like, well, surely I'll know who this is based on they're playing or they're singing, but the song is able to dominate anyone that steps to it completely, unless they're using like a theremin or something. And then you're like, oh, hello, Leonard Nimoy. This was a mistake. I think this song is incredibly beautiful and evocative and makes me feel like I am standing on a riverbank and being, feeling bittersweetly about something or someone. I am sure it will not survive, but it will not be because I didn't try by putting it in 5th place with 12 points. I will see myself out. Good day,
well,
sirs. I said good day.
Hold on to your boots because I put it higher than you.
You did?
I did. Yes. I think that this is a fucking timelessly gorgeous evocation of melancholy that is probably never going to be exceeded. It may be matched, but it will not be exceeded in terms of evoking melancholy. I think this song is so beautiful. It is so stirring. I agree with you that the song is so good that anyone who sings it is going to eventually be in its service.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
And the fact that a singer like Audrey Hepburn, who wasn't really that much of a singer, can make it work, but also a gifted vocalist like Judy Garland can make it work. The instrumental is great. I just think this song is a masterpiece, and I assumed I also would be fighting the feudal fight and just holding up my little placard and saying, but no. So you and I are in agreement. Now, the patrons put it in last place.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
So the fight continues, but it's still in the fight, and I think that's important.
I do too.
So again,
I'm glad that I'm glad that we agreed on that.
Yes, we did. I'm glad that we did too. Fourth place from me, fifth place from you, last place from the listeners, but still good for us, I say.
Yeah. And you know, if you have a chance, if you do like the song or you did vote for it and you want to check out some covers, I recommend it. It's really a fascinating prospect when a song sort of is bigger than anyone who comes near it. Like it has its own sort of like gravity field. That's kind of amazing.
And you know, I realized I was just saying earlier about Whitney Houston that the song shouldn't be bigger than the award, but what makes me feel differently about Moon River is that it's Whitney Houston's very specific performance that feels bigger than the award, and somehow Moon River doesn't feel like it's ever been dominated by any one version. And that slipperiness is actually something that Record of the Year, I think, is good at. I mean, Song of the Year is probably the more appropriate category for something that achieves this, but we don't have that. That's not what we're doing this year, this season. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's why I did what I did. And what you did was pull a clip from Mrs. Robinson.
I did, but I pulled it from my primary exposure to Simon and Garfunkel that was not on the Bridge Over Troubled Water album was from the family cassettes, plural, one for the house, one for the car, of the 1981 concert in Central Park. They led off this show, which was attended by like a gazillion people, with Mrs. Robinson. The clip, I was tempted to be like, let's just count off how long the crowd cheers before we finally hear the opening bars. Couldn't do it. It was like a minute and 10 seconds. But anyway, this is a snippet from the Central Park concert version of Mrs. Robinson.
Do the candidates debate, yeah. Laugh about it, shout about it when you've got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Woo-woo. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe, you have left and gone away. Hey, 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 hey.
There is something really early 80s corny about the arrangements for this live show, but the fact that you can sometimes hear the crowd and that they're often interacting like they are on America. It's one of my favorite things, like when they mention the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike and the whole crowd is like, yay! Like, why are we cheering for the Turnpike? Anyway, I am fond of this in the same way that I'm fond of It's Too Late. And I put it sort of near it in my rankings. Number 9, 8 points.
You know, I was just thinking about the fact that between Mrs. Robinson and Vogue, that's two number one hits that reference Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, the patrons liked it even more than you. You put it in 9th place. They put it in 5th place.
Wow. Interesting. I wouldn't have predicted that. I would have thought they would put it lower. Interesting.
I decided to be political here. There is, I don't think that we should have two songs by the same act in the Elite Eight, so I put this last.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with my feelings about the song and everything to do with how I think the game should be played. And you know what? Sue me.
No, I'm not going to sue you, but only because you put Moon River even higher than I did.
So if I am personally torpedoing your favorite song, feel free to tweet Sarah about it.
Mm-hmm. At Potato Country. That is my Twitter handle.
Or you can tweet me at You Are Blankensop, and that will be fine as well.
Oh, good old at Marabuntonship takes another one for the team.
Okay, now I'm going to shock you, I think, a little bit, Sarah, when I tell you that Not Ready to Make Nice by the Chicks is not in my top 8.
I am a little shocked by that, but actually not really. I think that you made the arguments that could be made for it, and so did I. I'm interested to see what the listeners did. I, to the surprise of no one, this is the song that I'm like, yeah, no thanks, and it is 16th with 1 point.
Yep.
Sorry, Chicks. I took you as far as I could. Here's where you get off. What did the listeners do?
Well, let me say that the reasoning that I have, even though I do adore this song and still feel that it is one of the most politically important pop songs of all time, it is not, to my mind, correct for a political song to be the number one record of the year. I don't think that that is the story that this award is meant to represent. In my mind, that political aspect is why I'm thrilled that it's in the Sweet 16, but I don't think it should go any further, because this is not the ACLU's record of the year. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like so many songs are political just by existing sometimes.
I mean, but yeah, I know, but like, I just don't
even
want,
even if they're not overt, I just don't think it's as good as some of these other songs. So
I think it's, I really do, but I just don't think that the all-time greatest record of the year should be about George W. Bush and the people who supported him. Like, yeah, no, I just can't do that.
Yeah, let's not have them take up any more of the brain grapes. No, I agree.
Music brings us together, man. Anyway, I put it in 9th place with 8 points. And that 9th place, just out of my top 8, is a nod to how much I really do love the song. But again, there are many vectors, as you said earlier. You put it in 16th, and the patrons put it in 11th place, which means that it is a mere 15 points total for the Chicks today.
Yeah.
Now, that brings us next to an artist who has yet to be clipped in this season, but I still think that that's fine, because if you listen to the show, you almost certainly have heard Rolling in the Deep by Adele. And I have enjoyed listening to it as I've prepared for each week. It has been really easy for me to continue to give it the green light. So I have put this excellent song, which I feel is both structurally exciting and vocally thrilling, in 3rd place and given it 14 points today.
I think we did clip Hello.
Yes, but not Rolling in the Deep.
But not Rolling in the Deep, which I mean, I think we just assumed like we should hold that clip because this is going to be around a while. But it really depends on what the listeners did, because, and I will say, I enjoy this song. It is, you know, above 16th, which means that really for me, like from 8 to 15, it was like, I don't know what to do. And in my case, because I didn't really, like, Adele was not going to need my help, I didn't feel, I put her in 15th, because it's like, I don't know what else to do with this. I don't, I don't quite care enough. Like, Hello was the Adele hill that I was going to die on, and then it was out. So this was sort of like, all right, do I need to think about where this goes? Maybe not, but I don't know, because I saw the poll, but I try not to look too hard at what the numbers are because I like to be surprised. So what did they do?
Well, so you put it in 15th, I put it in third, and they put it in second place.
Huh.
And interestingly, it was actually in first for most of the time that this poll was live. And then at the very last minute, Bridge Over Troubled Water pipped it by one vote.
Wow.
So there is strong support for Rolling in the Deep. And I really thought it was going to be their number one, the Patrons. And I was surprised by that. But I'm also still surprised that it's in second place, frankly. But then again, it's my third place song. So I shouldn't be that surprised. Anyway, it is, sure, I think, pretty safe to move on, given that it has 31 points total. But I also take your point about this not being the Adele Hill on which you wanted to lay down your arms or what have you.
Yeah.
Now, we also do have a clip of Gotye and Kimbra's Somebody That I Used to Know. So shall we listen to that?
Let's. Is so much fucking plot just in like 35 seconds of the song that she comes in and she's like, she starts out regretful, and then in like 18 seconds she is fucking furious, and then he comes back in, and whereas this is the same vocal as before, but before you had some sympathy for the guy, and now he just sounds like a whiny turd blossom.
Yes, exactly. Right,
That's fucking amazing, and also completely unvain on Gotye's part that he's just like, all right, this is the story. This is fine. I'm an unreliable narrator. We understand what's happening here. This really is a, like, every time I listen to this song, I am just sort of like overcome with gratitude that the Grammys like slipped and fell on the right thing. Yes, I love this song very much, and yet it is still only number six for me, but it is number six with 11 points.
So I agree with you about this particular section, especially because you're right. He becomes an unreliable narrator when she's like, but you couldn't get over your ex-girlfriend, you asshole. And then I love
And he's like, but you didn't have to be so mean. And she's like, didn't I, butthole? Also, I've been waiting 2 minutes to show up in this song. And why are you like this? It's just so good. I love it. John Ramos is right.
And I love that she just like yells at him after that. She's just like, ah.
I know.
Oh, it's so great. For me, the surprise of that, the structural, the unusual structure of the song is my number one. And I just think it's
I am thrilled.
I mean,
I am also thrilled that Ramos is not going to kill you. That's
right.
Nice.
Exactly. It's my number one. And, you know, again, do I think that Bridge Over Troubled Water is one of the greatest songs ever written? Of course, yes, especially in the way that Art Garfunkel performs it. But Somebody That I Used to Know is just so distinct and strange and wonderful. And it's, like you said, it's almost like a miracle that they accidentally gave this song the award when there was probably some Norah Jones voicemail of her snoring that they could have given the award to.
I completely forgot that Norah Jones existed until just now.
That's right. Amazing. Thank you. So you put it in sixth, I put it in first, and the Patrons did put it in their top half, though just barely, in eighth place. And interesting.
Huh.
So maybe that means this song is going to struggle next week. I don't know. I actually thought this would be higher from them too, but here we are.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What we're going to do is ask each individual voter why they did that. Anyway.
It's crossed my mind. I think what we're actually going to do next is hear a clip of Sunny Came Home.
Yes, we certainly are.
All right. I am not sure what is going to become of this song because I contemplated it very deeply and how much I enjoy it, and then just stared at my ranking of it and was like, I am an incorrect person. But anyway, let's hear a clip and then we could talk about where we all ranked it.
It's still so good to me. I love this song so much.
And just her delivery of there's just a side eye that she manages to get into some of the lines, but like she's doing way more than it seems like she's doing, Sean Colvin, but she's also not doing too much at any point. Like I was listening to the song again and I was like, is this maybe a little too long? Like maybe it is. But that last bit where the match is blown out,
yes,
is like you have to have been sitting with that guitar noodling for a while so that that can take you by surprise each time.
Yes.
Even listening to it right now, I'm like, I have made a terrible mistake ranking it at 14th.
Oh, shit.
And if I had it to do again, I wouldn't probably put it that low. But I just, like, I don't know. That it's how it is. 3 points.
But that's Dems.
Maybe it won't matter. And a question mark.
Well, the patrons put it in 13th place.
Oh dear. Sorry, girl.
So I will just say, as I think we talk about this song for the last time, although it did, I think, get like second place in our Lilith Fair season. So it's not like we haven't shown it some love.
True.
I just think this song continues to be like a box of wonders. You think you've heard everything there is to hear in it, mm-hmm. and then something else happens and you think, oh, right, she really could have been wailing this vocal to make the rage really obvious, but the rage is subdued, which actually makes it scarier.
Yeah. No, this is excellent storytelling.
That was the big thing I thought about. That was the big thing I thought about this time is that someone who has decided to burn the house down isn't angry about it anymore. They're just going to do it now. And that is, in its way, more terrifying than someone doing something out of fury. Like this woman, Sunny brought a book with some plans in it. She made a list. Mm-hmm. She remembered to grab a sweater. Like she was going to fucking destroy you, but she was not going to get destroyed. And I just think that's awesome. So anyway, that's why I put this song in 5th and gave it 12 points. But I don't think it's going to really matter when all the final tallying is done. But that's okay. We all know that we can still like a song, even if it doesn't leave the Sweet 16.
That's true.
I think we can. I'm pretty sure we can. Now, I am suspecting that both of us put this next song, Uptown Funk, in our top 8. I put Uptown Funk in 7th place and gave it 10 points because, like there needs to be a roller skating song, there also needs to be a song in here that's just fun and is just here to entertain some folks. And that's what this song is, and it does it to such a high level. I actually think that 7th might be a bit low, ultimately, but that's where it landed this week. So that's 7th place for me, 10 points, and the patrons put it in 4th and gave it 13 points. How about you?
Well, I think that Michelle Pfeiffer, that white gold, should proceed to the Elite 8, so I'm going to do my best to make that happen with the 14 points that I gave it in 3rd place.
Yes.
That's probably a little high in this group, but I don't care. Like, these are the choices that you have to make, and even thinking about the song, we don't have a clip right now. I'm, like, doing sort of ghost finger snaps and the, like, booty pop in my chair. Like, okay, this is the effect that even thinking about this song has. So it's got to be in the top 8, certainly. And looking at the rest of my top eight, like, it's a weird decisions were made, but this one I'm comfortable with. So, yep, third place.
Well done. Now, I have to say, this last song, What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner, I struggled
with this.
I struggled. I think this song is really good. And if you've been counting along at home, you'll know I've only got sixth place left. So that's where I put it. But like, it's really good. It's a rock song. It's a pop song. The story behind it about her career resurrection is really inspiring. But like, am I going to want to move it on out of the Elite Eight if it makes it? I don't know. There's just something about it that I feel like maybe the culture has done enough rhapsodizing about this song to sort of inure me to it a slight bit. And again, it sounds crazy because I obviously like the song. It's in the Sweet 16. I helped put it there. I'm never going to be sorry to hear it. But as we get down to the nitty gritty, I think, maybe I've cooled on this one just a touch. Anyway, sixth place for me. The patrons really loved it. They put it in third place and gave it 14. But Sarah, what about you?
Well, you've probably noted yourself that I only have 12th place left. And yep, that's where I put it. And it did feel like I really struggled with, like, am I putting it where it is, where, you know, wherever it happened to be, because that's where I think it is, or because I don't want to disrespect this woman's story. And yes, it's like, you know what? Ms. Turner does not care what I do with this song. The fact that we're talking about it at all is the point. So yeah, I like you've been saying about your Emilio Estevez moment, like, I just don't go there with this song anymore. I think when it first came out, maybe, but that's not when we're ranking it.
Yeah. And honestly,
5 years old. So yeah, that's what I did. And I'm not sure it's going to matter, but that's what the calculator is for.
And honestly, if this had been Better Be Good to Me, I might have an easier time thinking I wasn't going to let it go, because that song is just doesn't have so much legend attached to it. And what you just said is, I think, quite correct. If we don't push this forward, are we disrespecting everything Tina has done? And then you're right. She lives in a Swiss chalet. She does not care.
It's true.
Okay, so there were, I've already now been able to discover our top eight. So shall I just go through them alphabetically in terms of who's moving forward, or would you like me to do them from least points to most points?
I think least to most points.
Well, Sarah, I think you and I will both gasp with delight when I reveal that in eighth place is Moon River.
Yes.
Just barely. It has 26 points. And the next ranked song in ninth place, which was Boulevard of Broken Dreams, has 25 points. So
Boulevard of Broken Dreams didn't make it?
No, but Moon River did.
Oh, fuck. Actually, can we do the whole list?
Yeah, or is that actually a pain? No, that's good. Why not? Screw it. We're here. Okay. So as I'm going through, I'm going to read the point totals, and then I will indicate whether or not the song has made it to the top eight. Number one. Okay. The first song that we talked about was Beat It. It got 30 points and it did make it through.
Okay.
The next song we talked about was Betty Davis Eyes. That's 20 points. I don't know where this ranks. I haven't done the exact numerical rankings for anything below eighth, but it didn't make it through. Still, okay. 20 points. Not bad. Boulevard of Broken Dreams in ninth place with 25 points. So just edged out. Next.
Shocking. I mean, I am shocked.
I am shocked. Shooketh.
Yeah. Shocked, shook, shaken. Stricken
from the record is what Boulevard of Broken Dreams is now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
All right.
When we did the round one, I really thought that this song was going to make it to the top four. But
I assumed this was going into the championship round, honestly. But okay, that does make things a little easier for me in some ways.
In a way, it's the sweet relief of death.
Yes. The cold embrace of the grave.
Next, unsurprisingly, with the highest score of the entire round, is Bridge Over Troubled Water with 47 points. No shocker. It's moving forward. It's Too Late got 17 points, so it will not be joining us in the next round.
Okay.
However, I Will Always Love You with 27 points will be moving forward. It was our seventh place, and so that clip lives to sing another day.
Always.
My love for it notwithstanding, I will remain married to it, but Kiss from a Rose with 18 points shan't be moving forward.
Okay.
Now, the lowest scoring song this week was The Captain and Tennille with Love Will Keep Us Together with a mere 11 points. But, every single one of these songs managed to break into double digits, which is still pretty impressive.
Like, we didn't have any three-pointers, which usually, something like this, there's kind of a consensus blech, but this is the problem with this season, is that that's not true.
Right, the consensus blech was bounced weeks ago at this point. Now, that brings us to Moon River, which I've already revealed is, in fact, in our top eight with 26 points.
What the fuck?
Now, that means that it's time now to start calling your constituents and getting the vote out, because can we push it to the final four? How far can we ride this pony? Let's see.
I don't know.
I think that actually might make this song the only one from the first bracket that is moving on.
I think you're right.
Because Mrs. Robinson... Oh, no, because Bridge Over Troubled Water is from the first bracket, too, I think. Right. Anyway, doesn't matter. Well, Mrs. Robinson, because of my overt shenanigans, will not be moving on. because it landed with a mere 21 points, and my dastardly work here is done.
Good for you.
Not Ready to Make Nice would have landed in 15th with a mere 15 points, although still not terrible.
No. But
this is the end of the road for the Chicks, so you don't have to listen to it anymore.
Yeah, I was never ready to make nice with that song, and now I don't have to.
Rolling in the Deep, which I guess we should get around to finally clipping next week, made it through to the next round with 31 points.
Okay.
Somebody That I Used to Know also has made it through with 36 points.
Phew.
I know. I would have been very sorry if that one had not made it through, but it did. Sunny Came Home. We love you, girl, but this is the end of the road for you. You are not moving on. 19 points. And then both of our final two songs, Uptown Funk and What's Love Got to Do with It, shall be moving forward with 37 points for Uptown Funk. And that actually means that Uptown Funk is the second place overall song.
Wow.
Which I think is pretty cool. But also tells you a lot that first place is 47 and second place is 37. That means that there's really only one song on which there is true consensus. Are we talking about our winner? Who can say? We'll have to keep listening to find out. And then What's Love Got to Do with It with 30 points also makes it through. So it's interesting that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these songs made it with over 30 points, and only one made it over 40. So that's interesting.
Usually it's not as difficult to choose. And like we always say that sometimes the one where everyone's like, yeah, that one's fine, ends up being your number one because it hasn't offended anyone and been right. put in last.
Right.
This is a little bit different, that you really are having to like, split some babies with this. And that Boulevard of Broken Dreams has already fallen out is like, wow. Like,
that's a shock. It is a shocker. That to me is the biggest upset that we've had in this whole season, is that song not making it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
By 1 point. By one point. But that's how the Moon River flows, y'all. So just as one last time, here are our Elite Eight songs in alphabetical order. Beat It, Bridge Over Troubled Water, I Will Always Love You, Moon River, Rolling in the Deep, Somebody That I Used to Know, Uptown Funk, and What's Love Got to Do with It. Not bad. Not too shabby, I would say.
But having to cut this in half again.
I know. This is really...
And this is where we're going to have a bunch of ties, and we're going to be fucked.
Yeah, and so we're going to have to just be like, oh, God, oh, okay. Well,
Maybe we should just do that as a live call-in show, and it's like, all right, whoever's awake when we're doing this.
Just get on it. Well, I know. That's next week's problem. For this week, I say good work to us all. And of course, patrons, we so appreciate you voting. And we appreciate all of you, even if you're not patrons, for listening, for commenting on social media. We couldn't do this without you. We wouldn't want to do it without you. And Sarah, I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, if you would like to talk about how our choices have created a boulevard of your broken dreams, again, join us on patreon.com/mastass and jump on our Discord. It's a really fun community discussion, and we'd love to have you. And God help us all. We will see you next week for the Elite Eight.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Sarah D. Bunting and Mark Blankenship. That's me. And edited by Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. This podcast is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
And if you want to talk about songs, suggest a season theme, get a pop chart reading or customized playlist, or have a cocktail with us and your fellow listeners, then come on by our Patreon page at patreon.com/mastass, where you'll find polls, happy hours, and tons of extra episodes and content.
We're also at Talk Songs on Twitter, at Mastass Everywhere on Instagram, and mastass.podcast on Facebook. Or just email us, talkaboutsongs@gmail.com. All that contact info will be in our show notes. Scroll down. Hope we'll be talking about songs with you soon.
Thanks for listening.
Danny Glover!
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.